Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Colossians. The New Testament book of Colossians and chapter number 4. The Old Testament passage of Colossians in chapter number 4. We are on the closing messages of this series of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And Paul is in prison and he's writing some his prison epistles where he's trying to encourage some of these churches. And we've already given a quick survey of the book of Colossians. But I want to pay attention to something towards the end of Colossians as the Apostle Paul is taking some time to greet several different people within the church of Colossae and people associated with that church. Now, at the same time, as Paul is addressing that, we know that when we get to these parts of Scripture with names, sometimes our eyes roll back in our head. Sometimes we just strain and just try to go through the name and we forget trying to pronounce it, you know. We just try to get through it as much as we can. But yet, these names are very important. God recorded them in Scripture for our learning, for us to know a little bit more. And so, if you don't mind, look with me in the book of Colossians in chapter number 4. The book of Colossians, chapter number 4, and notice with me in verse number 7. Colossians 4, and starting in verse 7, the Word of God says this: "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. And Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, they only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. And Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them at Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. At the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in this passage that it's listed twice? Notice, first of all, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 9, notice the phrase, "Who is one of you?" That phrase, "Who is one of you?" Once again, we see that phrase repeated, in verse number 12. So Colossians 4, 12, notice the phrase again, "Who is one of you? Who is one of you?" And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach that message about the folks in the church. Who is one of you? If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for us being able to gather together with this local assembly, to be able to come and to open up the Scriptures, to see what you're doing and the people within that local assembly and those that are associated with it. We thank you so much for the salvation that you offered and how you change lives and how you work. And I'm asking that this would be an encouragement, this would be a blessing. Again, open up the Scripture in a special way. Let your Holy Spirit have free course. As for myself, once again, I surrender myself to you, and I just ask that you use me as a willing vessel, that you would get your own work accomplished. Fill me with your precious Spirit. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that is a wonderful phrase. Who is one of you? Who is one of you? Do you know that everyone is a part of something that's bigger than himself? Everyone's part of something that's bigger than himself. You know, the greatest thing that anyone could be a part of in this New Testament economy is a local church. That's the greatest thing anyone could be a part of. And we know that the local church is something that is bigger than all of us. That this is something that God has put together to get His work and His will accomplished within the area that we have here. And that one of the greatest things is to be a part of a local church. Well, as Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, he's giving a list of different names. And so what does it mean to be part of one of you? Well, we're referring to the family of God. That you understand that when you accept Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, that the Holy Spirit comes to live within inside of your heart. When that happens, you become part of the family of God. That we become brothers and sisters in Christ. We become co-heirs with Jesus. That we are now part of a family. And you know, as any family, there's always different personalities. Not everyone's the same. Think of your family. Mom can have a different personality than Dad. You know, it's amazing how a father and a mother can have multiple kids, and each of the kids totally different than all the rest of them. It's amazing how that works out. And inside of the family of God, there are different people. God doesn't have any desire to have cookie cutter Christians, meaning that have Christians that all look the same, act the same, are the same. That God likes variations. God likes people. And so sometimes people can be strange. Sometimes people can are this and that. I heard of a man who was part of a church. He was a taxi driver back before Uber and all that other stuff. And they had real taxis. And this man was a taxi driver, and on Sunday mornings, what he would do is that he would drive around with his taxi and ask people who wanted to have a ride. He said, "Well, this is Jesus' taxi this morning, and I'll give you a free ride wherever you want, but you have to come with me to church." And if they say, "No, no, no, I don't want any of that," he says, "All right, well, I'm not looking for that. This is Jesus' taxi this morning." And every Sunday morning, he would come in late sometimes, but he would always bring someone that he would be dragging with him that was getting a free ride in the taxi. And he would never sit in the back. He would always drag the people right up front, sometimes in the middle of the message, and sit them in there and waving at the preacher the whole time he's coming down. Well, praise the Lord for that. Amen. There's different people that can be in the church. That's fine. Brother Summerdorf, who many people are familiar with, he tells of a story of Timmy. Timmy is a special child, has some mental developments, but his job for the last 20 years is an usher. And what he does is that he doesn't usher like our young men do and sit in the end of the aisle and pass the plates. What they do is that Timmy, he gets in front of people and he goes down the aisle and he goes and just holds it there until you put something in. And then he goes to the next person. So offering takes a while there at that church. But Mr. Timmy, he's done it, and everyone loves it. Praise the Lord, that's a good usher, isn't it? But he has his job. That's his job. And that's precious, and that's a blessing. You know, and he doesn't fit the mold that some other people fit. But we're glad that he's there. And we understand that within the family of God, that there are some people who are tall and short. There are some are good looking and not good looking. There are some people that are smart and some people not so smart. God loves everybody. And they're glad to be part of it. And that when we say this phrase, "Who is one of you?" You're a part of something amazing and part of the family of God. And within the family of God, we could also be part of a local church where everyone's important. God loves every single one of them. Every single one of us. You could be a part of that. So if you don't mind, let's take some time and let's walk through some of these people that are mentioned here and see the type of people that they are. And, you know, some of these people we might even have in our church, or some of these people you might even know in the family of God. Notice, if you don't mind, as we go through this list, let's look at the first name that's mentioned in verse number 7. "In all my state shall Tychicus." So the first person we're going to come to is Tychicus. Notice what the Bible says about Tychicus. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a faithful servant in the Lord, whom I sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. So the first person we see here is Tychicus. Tychicus is a faithful minister. He's a servant, and he represents faithful people. Praise the Lord. You know, we need faithful people inside of a church. We need faithful people inside of the word of the family of God. We need people who are going to do what they're supposed to do. A faithful servant. He's there to be a servant, to be a blessing, to carry out what the Lord has given him to do. We need those type of people within a local church. We need those type of people within the family of God. In fact, it was Tychicus who carried the letters of Colossians and the letter of Ephesians and carried them to the respective churches. He was trusted to carry these letters from Rome, from the Apostle Paul, and carry them all the way to a different continent and deliver them to the churches. Praise the Lord. We need faithful people who we know are going to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, who we know that are going to be in their place. We know that we could count on them. We need faithful people within the family of God. Who is one of you? Notice we see someone else that's mentioned in verse number 9. We see Onesimus. So we have Tychicus. Now we have Onesimus. And of course, we've already heard about Onesimus within this series. But notice what it says in verse number 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Now remember who Onesimus was. Onesimus was a runaway slave. But you know, when Paul is referring to him, he's not saying, hey, that slave who ran away. Notice how he says him, a faithful and beloved brother. Notice this, who is one of you? Don't you think that felt good for Onesimus to be said, he's one of you? He's the same of you. He belongs in your family. He belongs in the church. Who is one of you? You know what this is? This is people who are forgiven and saved. You know, every single one of us are sinners. Every single one of us have a past. We know that some of us didn't have the privilege of growing up in Christian homes. In fact, if you did not grow up in a Christian home, raise your hand. You know, those meaning we didn't grow up in a home where the Bible was open and the Bible was taught. Some of us may even have fallen into sin before we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. But aren't you glad that God can forgive us? And that God can place us into His family? And that God can have a place for us inside of a local church? Just like Onesimus. Onesimus had some baggage in his life, but now the Apostle Paul says he is a beloved brother. In the book of Ephesians, it puts it this way. You are accepted in the beloved. Do you know that Jesus doesn't just merely like you or love you? He also likes you. Imagine that Jesus likes you. You know, we all have people who we love, but we don't want to go on vacation with. Do you know that Jesus likes you? He likes you who you are. You're accepted. And you know what happens in a church that keeps their eyes on Jesus is that we accept people. That if someone comes in with green hair and a nose ring and a cheek ring and a chain going from the nose ring to the cheek ring, we should accept them who they are and try to love on them. Because Jesus died for them and he wants to save them, and then they're part of the family. That this is a place where people can be accepted. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We can be accepted. And Onesimus, who had a past, he was a runaway slave. But now Paul says he is one of you. That's encouragement, isn't it? That no matter what you've done in your past, you can be forgiven. You could be washed away. You could be accepted in the beloved. What a wonderful thing. So we've covered Tychicus, we've covered Onesimus. The next name we come up on the list is Aristarchus. Aristarchus. Notice what it says about Aristarchus in verse number 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive the commandments. If he come to you, receive him. Notice what it says about Aristarchus. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. Now, Aristarchus was with Paul during his most difficult times. he was someone who, when the Apostle Paul got arrested, Aristarchus said, "Hey, I know I didn't do anything wrong, but can I be arrested just so I can be with my preacher? I want to make sure someone's there to take care of my preacher, that he's going through hard times, and I want to stand right there, and I'll do whatever it takes to stand with a man of God." You know, we need people like that in the family of God. We need like people like that inside of the church. We need people who says, "I'm going to stand with my preacher. I'm going to stand with a man of God, even in the most difficult circumstances." Man, that's some people you need in a church. "I'm going to stand with the preacher. I understand there's some people that may be mad and he's not perfect, but he's the man of God God's given to us, and I'm going to stand with him. I know that he may be funny a little bit and has that high squeaky voice, but you know what? We're going to stand with the preacher and we're going to support him." You know, that's what we need inside of the family of God. We need that inside of the church of God. Some people who are going to say, "I'm going to stand with my preacher, even if it may be get rough. I'm willing to stand with my preacher." So we went from Tychicus to Onesimus to Aristarchus. Notice this, we've got another important name here. Notice again, we have Marcus. You know him as John Mark. So we have Marcus, known as John Mark. Notice this. In verse number 10, "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him." Now, many of you remember the story, and it was just mentioned in our revival services, that John Mark was Barnabas's nephew, and when Paul and Barnabas went to go on their first missionary journey, John Mark quit on him. He said, "This is too much. I'm going home. I want to go be with Mama." And so he quit and went home. He backslid. He went away. But the good thing is that he didn't stay backslidden. He went back, served in his local church, proved himself. And now Paul right here, later on in 2 Timothy, he's going to say, "Marcus, he's profitable to me." But here he's telling the church, "Hey, if you get a chance to hear Marcus preach, you come let him preach. He's going to be a help to you." You know what we have here? We have a man who backslid, but now is restored. A man who was backslidden, but is now restored. Aren't you glad that if you backslide, it's not all over, that God will take you back? Isn't that a comfort? You know, for someone who may be saved for a long time, that period of backslidden happens. It's not good and it shouldn't happen, but it does happen. Aren't you glad that God will take us back? That God will say, "Come on, you join, be back in the family. Let's restore you." You know what we have in the family of God? We have some people who walked away who God restored back. Even inside of a local church, we should have people who God brought back, and that we don't hold it against them that maybe they stopped coming to church for a while. We should be glad that they come back, that we're glad to restore them. We're glad to be a help to them. Who is one of you? Isn't it comforting to know these type of people in the church? Well, there's more. Notice with me as we come to another one whose name is Justice or Jesus. We come to this next person here, Justice or Jesus. Notice in verse number 11, "And Jesus, which is called Justice." Now, let me give you a reminder that many times names are used. For example, within our own church, we have two Jennifer S's, right? Does that mean they're the same person? No, they're different people. Jesus was a popular name back then, and so several people had it. And notice it says, "And Jesus, which is called Justice." So it's Jesus or Justice or Jesus Justice, whatever you have to do to keep it straight. "Who are of the circumcision? These only are my fellow workers in the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to you." Now here we have Justice Jesus. This is a man who was religious before he was saved. So basically, he was the opposite of Onesimus. But guess what? Even though Onesimus may have been a slave and may have been in sin, Justice was just as lost, even though he was religious. You know, within a church, we'll have people who were drunkards and who were druggies and who were fornicators and who did all these things, but they came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We'll also have some very religious people who were religious and try to live a good life, but that religion doesn't get them saved. They had to come to a place in their life where they accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. And we're glad to have them too, just as well. That all of them are necessary. All of them are a part of the family of God. And we need those type of people within a local body as well. who are one of you, who is one of you. Notice as we go on, we see another person with that's mentioned in this list. We have Epaphras. We have Epaphras. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Now, Epaphras was probably the pastor of the church of Colossae, but currently he's in jail with the Apostle Paul. This is another one who said, you know, I believe I need to go help out the man of God. I'm going to go to jail with the man of God. But you know, he's not just saying, well, I'm on a permanent vacation. Guess what he's doing? Notice in again, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervent for you in prayers. You know, this is someone who is praying. Inside of the family of God, we have some people who have made it their business to pray. We understand prayer is the gas that runs the machine. We only travel as far as we travel on our knees. That it is God that does everything. And when people get a hold of this and people say, I have made it my goal to pray. Notice how he's praying for them, by the way, again in verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervent for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know what they're doing? Is he's praying that you would follow the will of God. That you will be complete in the Word of God. That you'll follow what God has given to you. They're fervently praying. You understand that there are some people who may not be able to be here, but they're praying for you. But they're praying for you. And we need people within a church who pray. Who get a hold of God. Who pray for others. Do you understand that very few people really pray? And that you may be the only person praying for someone else. Think of our prayer list and think of people who have needs. Think of people who have people who are lost. Who's going to pray for them? We need someone to stand up and say, it's my goal. It is my mission. It's what God has given me to pray for the people of the church. To pray that God gets his will across. To pray that people follow after his will. We need people who are one of you. We need people inside of a church who know how to pray. And how to get a hold of God. Notice as we go up, we come to another name. We know him as Dr. Luke. One of my favorite people in the Bible. Dr. Luke. Notice with me in verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician. Now Luke, the beloved physician, he's a layman. He's not a preacher. He says, I'm a doctor. I'm not a preacher. But you know what he did is he used his skills and his availability to use to whatever he could do to help the church, to help the people. Dr. Luke, he had only one patient, and that was the Apostle Paul to keep him going. But praise the Lord that someone, that God has given you a skill, that God has given you the know-how. Whether you're no electronics, whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a doctor or a physician, whether you're a secretary or in services, whether you're an accountant. All of those have a place. You could use your skills with what God has trained you to do and what God has equipped you to do to be a help within the family of God and the local church. Who is one of you? Praise the Lord that it's not the preacher is the spotlight. Everyone has a place and everyone can use the skills that God has given them to help the church move forward and to help the family of God. Praise the Lord for Dr. Luke. Notice in that same verse, we also have another man. There's a man by the name of Demas. Demas. Notice, if you don't mind, and again, in verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now, Demas, not much is said about him. He is a person, a man in the family, but we understand that later on, he's a man that's moving in the wrong direction. Soon, he's going to quit Paul, he's going to quit the ministry. He's going to quit following after God. The Bible says, loving this present world. Do you know within the family of God, within a local church, we may have some people whose heart is starting to move further from God. We may not see it yet because it may not show, but inside of their heart, things are moving away from God. Nobody else may know, but their heart inside. Maybe it's getting to the place where church is boring. Oh, I got to endure this preaching, but they got to show up because they got to keep face. Maybe they're at the place where reading the Bible's boring. Their heart's getting further from God. Maybe it's a thing where it's a labor to pray. Maybe it's a thing, well, I really don't know about this preacher anymore. And their heart's getting further and further from God. We need to pray for these people. We need to pray for everyone in our church because there may be someone who's starting to move away. Like a Demas, loving this present world. And it's a heartbreaking thing. But those type of people are also within a church. To move them closer to the Lord. To bring them back into the love of God. To keep pointing them up. Because unfortunately, sometimes there may be Demases. Notice as we go on, there's another man that's listed here. Archippus. Notice this, as it says right here. As we jump down to verse number 17. Archippus. And to say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Archippus is Philemon's son who needs encouragement. He needs encouragement. Paul's encouraging him. You know, within the family of God, we have people who need encouragement. There are people who need encouragement. Sometimes what they need is an arm around their shoulder just to say, I'm praying for you. Or maybe sometimes they need someone to say, hey, there's a burden on your heart. Let's go sit over here and let's pray. And to take time to pray for them. Sometimes people just need that pep. Man, it's been such a blessing to see you in church. Let me tell you, that's been a blessing. But there are some people sometimes in the family of God and within a local church that needs encouragement. And we need to keep our eyes open. You know, sometimes we get so self-focused we don't see people around us. We don't see people who are hurting. We don't see people who need that loving on. When's the last time you put your arm around someone and said, let's pray at the altar and just let me pray for you? When's the last time you loved on someone and said, what can I do to be a blessing? What can I do to be a help? People need encouragement. You say, well, I need encouragement. Well, the best thing to do is to go encourage someone else. But there are people who need encouragement within the family of God. Even within a local church, there are people who need encouragement. Notice as we go on, we see someone else that's listed. We see Paul. We see Paul. Notice in verse 18, Paul. Thou, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. You know, Paul is part of the family. He's one of the family. He's accepted Jesus as their Savior. Do you understand? There is no one greater than anyone else in the family. We're all accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We're all sinners saved by grace. There's no one greater. But we do know that sometimes there's people who are in trouble. Paul's in trouble. He's not greater, but he's part of the family. And he's someone in affliction right now. He's someone that's going through some hard times. And there are people who are going through hard times that we need to be aware of, that we need to pray for. We need to find ways to encourage. But there's also something else that's mentioned here. And it's not so much a name specifically as a group. And we see the brethren. We see the brethren. Notice with me in verse number 15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. What we have here is the unnamed people who make up the family. You know, there's a lot of people within the family of God, and every single one of them are important. Every single one of them are necessary. Every single one of them have a purpose and a place in the family of God and within a local church. That you may say, no one knows me. No one knows what I do. God does. And he's never forgotten you. And you are important. And you have a place. And every single one of them, as is one of you, who is one of you, every one of us have a place within the house of God. By the way, what makes any of us special in the first place? Is it because of how good looking you are? How smart you are? How spiritual you are? Notice with me in the book of Colossians chapter 1. What makes any of us special? Notice if you don't mind, in chapter 1 and verse 27. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Notice this. What is this mystery among the Gentiles? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, what makes us special is that the Christ inside of us. that we're part of God's family. And we don't deserve it. The only good thing in me is Christ Jesus. And the only good thing in you is Christ Jesus. But you know, it's because of Christ that we could become, we are part of the family of God if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. And you know, it's because of what Christ has done and Christ's plan that we could be a part of this local assembly. We could gather ourselves together and we could join together in what God has given us to do because of what Christ has done in us. It's all about Jesus, that He may get the preeminence. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, that it's all about Christ. That Christ saved us and He put us in the family. And then He also brought us together to assemble as part of this local church. And every one of us is necessary. Every one of us is important. Every one of us has a place. Who is one of you? That you are represented somewhere in this list. That God loves you and you are important. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.